Hello and welcome to Booth Talk from the After Movie Diner, the show where we interview the best and brightest that Hollywood has to offer. Only this week, we're going over to Holland, of all places, to speak to the director of the fantastic new Euro horror film, The Windmill, or as it's called in other territories, Windmill Massacre, which is so much better and what it should have been called all along. The director's name is Nick Jongeris, and we have a fantastic conversation with him about the making of the movie, what inspired the film, and what scared him when he was young. You can read our review, as always, on the website aftermoviediner.com. But for now, please enjoy my conversation with director of The Windmill Massacre, Nick Jongeris.
Hi, John. This is Nick.
Well, I enjoyed The Windmill, sir. Congratulations on that. It was very good.
Thank you.
What is your earliest memory of being scared or horrified by something?
Well, that's a good question, actually. I would say that is watching The Hulk, the old TV series. That was actually really scary for me. We had a black and white TV at the time,
yeah.
And I saw I don't know the actor's name. I'm really sorry about that, but it turned into Lou Ferrigno, you know. And first the eyes start to change, and then, you know, it becomes Lou Ferrigno, and I was so scared. I just ran behind the couch and then watched over the couch. But because I, you know, what scares you always also attracts you, you know? That was actually the first time that I can remember being really scared, but also being really fascinated by it.
And was it sort of memories like that that encouraged you to work within the horror genre, or were there other reasons why you wanted to go ahead and produce and direct horror films?
Well, that's a good question also. Yeah, I read a lot of comic books when I grew up, and I really like the dark stuff. And people ask me, you know, is that something that is because of your childhood, or but I see it in my son as well. He's 6 now, and he's also really interested in the dark stuff. But it's not that I let him see things or not. I really try to separate my personal life and my work life. But he has also this he likes Batman. He likes the dark stuff. And so I think it's something that genetically is with you, something like that.
Yeah, and who were your big influences? What were sort of the two or three either films and or creators that really inspired you?
Yeah, I tried, before we started with the film, I tried not to look at many other films, because, you know, it tends to influence you in a bad way. But when we were doing the writing, we really looked and paid homage to the old Amicus horror films and old disaster films. You know, I like the fact that these characters are all really different persons but with a backstory and really colorful people. I personally, in horror, I personally really love the fantasy horror, you know. Like, I'm a big fan of Guillermo del Toro, and I really love that kind of work, and I consider this film, The Windmill, actually being a grim fairy tale. You know, it's not a really hardcore horror film, although there's a lot happening, but there's also something else to it. You know, it's a little bit sentimental also. But it's also kind of like how I am, basically. So I put as much in for myself as I could.
And you started off as a producer, both of short films and the features. Why was this the Will Mill project that you wanted to direct specifically?
Yeah, because I really like horror and I was looking for an arena that really interests me. And delving a little bit into my own personal life, I thought, well, what really scares me or fascinates me, because I'm Dutch, you know, you don't notice them, but at a certain point, I had this epiphany. I saw windmills, and I was like, guys, I actually find these things really weird and really scary, actually, because there are no windows in it, you know, it's just standing there in the middle of nowhere most of the time, and yeah, I was like, yeah, well, and how do these people live in this? And there's no corners, you know, it's just one round thing. And looking back at it, I was born on the street called the Soul Windmill Street, and there was a really scary mill just 500 meters from my house, which I used to drive with my bicycle too, and with my friends, and play hide and seek there. But also, these really scary stories about who lived there, and you know, a little bit like a Stranger Things kind of life, but then for real. When the opportunity. I actually seized the opportunity to get this off the ground because of that, and because it basically is something that really triggers me. And when we made a teaser trailer for it, people reacted to that, and that really got the ball rolling for the film.
The legend, the folklore that is told in the story about the demon coming from hell. So is that something that people in Holland grow up knowing? Is that a real fairy tale, or is that something that was written for the movie?
Well, it is. It's based on two existing myths and sagas, but you really have to look for it, because nothing can be found on the internet of it. But I have a book at home. It's a book about windmills, myths, and sagas. And there, researching it, I bought that book. Because for some reason, there's not a lot of interest in Holland in windmills. Basically, because we all know them, that we are not really interested in them. But reading about that and actually basing the story on two existing myths. One of them is about a miller who sells his soul to the devil, and once you trust that, everything goes ancient. And the other one is based on a miller in the 16th century who thought he could make eternal life kind of flower by grinding the bones of real humans. And I combine these two. To what is actually the story which is in the film, but also talking to real millers who said, well, in the 1800s, the windmills were the tallest buildings in the country, so they would get struck by lightning, and a lot of ghost stories came from that, you know, families being burned in the mill, and then the mill resurrects again, and people we died on the place, still. So there is not a lot about the stuff, but yeah, if you research it like we did, you come up with all these really fantastic stories that you can base your own story on.
And with a movie like The Windmill that has a lot of sequences in it that combine both practical and digital effects, what is challenging about making a film like that with that kind of sort of effects scope Also sort of what is challenging about actually shooting it to make the digital and the practical match so well.
It was. I actually kind of underestimated it because I said upfront, I want to do everything as practical as we can. But then we're taking into account that we were also shooting all these very difficult things at night. So the combination of those two things made it almost impossible to do this stuff, you know. And it was really, really long days, and I got a lot of play off with these killings, you know. But I felt that the only time, because during the shoot, and I have an editing background, you know, I knew that what I was shooting, that I would definitely was going to use it. The only time that I really got scared was the burning of the mill itself, you know, because that was done in After Effects, we couldn't do that on set with a miniature. It was just impossible to do it. So we did it in the visual effects. And at a certain point, because it wasn't working in the beginning, and the place was too small or too high, or you know, it's really difficult to make flames believable. So I was kind of sweating in the post-production about that. But all the other stuff was hard to do, but we knew at the end of the day that we had it. You know, the kill of Nicholas.
Yeah.
This one shot where the Sith comes from in front of him, you know, and that he feels the mirror. When I saw that shot, I was like, okay, well, this was worth the 3 hours overtime. Absolutely, definitely, because it was, I really like that. Personally, I really like that show.
Yeah. And lastly, then, Nick, just speak a little bit about the cast. It's obviously a nice ensemble, but it's also an international cast. So just talk to us about putting that together and the either the challenges or the surprises that you found.
Well, first of all, it was all really lovely. As in, before I started working on this film, I did a lot of TV stuff, so I was pretty comfortable with the technical stuff, and also with the fact that you are under time pressure all the time, and the producers are just constantly tapping your back. You know, are you on time and stuff like that. But working with actors was something that before the film I was not 100% comfortable with. And I was like, okay, well, how am I going to train myself to make sure that I will be able to provide stuff for them as well? You know, I don't want to hide behind the technical stuff. I want to be a director who understands both and knows how to push the buttons on crew, but also on cast. And I did a couple of workshops, for example, with Judith Preston, who also trained, had conversations with Mia Litu, the director of The Revenant, for example. And she really, she was like a guru for directors and how to approach actors as a director. And I learned so much from that experience, and also working with our casting director, Daniel Herbert, who did films for Green Gloss, for example. And he opened up such a big pool of interesting actors that everybody who came in had something really good. So I could choose just who I really thought was good for the role. And I also approached it as a football coach. You know, I looked, because I knew I had an ensemble and I couldn't pay attention to all of them all the time, you know. So I had to have team players and not divas because that would disrupt the whole team effort. And they really worked as a team. And You know, Charlotte Goldman is really, she's 21, and she's such an excellent actress and such an experienced actress as well. And they all helped me get through it, you know, and I helped them, and Mother Fainor also was really fantastic to work with. So, yeah, all in all, it was yeah, the best experience I have thus far.
Excellent. Well, look, it certainly shows in the finished result. So, congratulations. I hope the film does very well. And
thank you.
Thanks ever so much for
thank
talking
you.
To us today.
Sure. Thanks.